couple of weeks ago for that. Fantastic. All right. So the title of my message is actually what we're looking at, or you're looking at, which is Make Room. And I believe that we must create space in our world for God to work. Our hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. The God of heaven and earth came to earth. He came to us. He found you. Is anyone glad that they've been found by God? He searched for you. He found you. And when you and I find time to make room for him in our lives, we will not just be living from a natural perspective, but rather a supernatural perspective. There is something in our DNA which must, well, it often doesn't, but what we're talking about this year is actually connecting because we want to, because we have the Jesus, we believe in Jesus. We love God. And so we want ourselves to be touched by his spirit and his power so that we do not live just naturally but supernatural lives. And your perception will change when you make room for him in your life. When you make room for God, you will be more positive. You will be more alive. I was talking to Greg Moore this morning, one of our board members, just about how we're getting older and we get injured a little bit. And I'm going, I'm not stopping. And Greg goes, no, I'm not either. I'm not stopping the things that I love to do. Yes, I may need to adjust. Yes, I may need to change my thinking. We'll get into that as we're going through this today. But we shouldn't give up on life. See, you may even become more endearing to others because you have more of God in you. That wouldn't be a bad thing, would it? I'm preaching to myself here, believe me. My family knows. Grumpy Nigel at the moment. The pain's pretty bad at times. I want us to be authentic, right? No point being superficial. Everyone knows who you are anyway. And so we all need hope for our future. Otherwise, what's the point of our existence? For the situations we face, we need Jesus. And therefore, we need to make room for him in our lives. So 2 Kings 4. Just a few verses to kick us off this morning. Let's go from verse 8. Shunammite woman. Now it happened one day that Elisha, he's the prophet that took over from Elijah, strong anointing on his life. So he's the man of God. Now it happened one day that Elisha went to Shunam, where there was a notable woman. This is the New King James Version. And she persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, "Look now, I know that this is a holy man of God who passes by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall and let us put a bed for him there, and a table, and a chair, and a lampstand, so it will be there. Whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there." This is a wealthy lady. The Hebrew word for her denotes greatness and describes her as an esteemed person of high status. Elisha would come into her home and then move on again. This woman of means, this woman of substance, she didn't need to entertain anybody. She already had status in her community, and yet she invites Elisha in. She invited Elisha into her home because every time she did, she could feel God. People say that they feel a warmth or an energy, I've heard it described, or a positive atmosphere when they walk in, as we sung today, walked into the courts of the Lord. It's the house of God. It's where we worship God together corporately. It's this house. Anywhere where there is a gathering together, it's the courts of God. It's the house of God. There is nothing better, as we sung, than being in the house of God. It's not a positive, it's not just a positive feeling. It's not just a feel-good moment. It's not just good energy. It's because the Spirit of God dwells in this house. It's because we're worshiping God and believing corporately for His power and His life, and we love Him more than anything else in our life. First and foremost, He's our Lord. We genuinely invite Him into our lives. Who'd like to do that more this year? We genuinely invite Him in. And so the woman liked the feeling in her house. And so the woman says to her husband, "Let's make some room for this man in our house so he doesn't have to go elsewhere." Wow. Rather than the man eat and run, rather than I have a snippet, rather than a quick pleasantry, "Mr. Husband, I'd like him to linger with us. What do you say?" And he agreed. How wonderful, how beautiful is it when you agree to allow the Lord into your home? And so the first point I want to make this morning is create room. Create room. Her husband said, "Let's do it." So this esteemed lady of status went about making room for God. How much better for a marriage when there is an agreement on allowing God into it? How much better for any boyfriend and girlfriend relationship when you allow God into it? How much better for any friendship when you allow God into that friendship? And so a certain presence can be felt. There can be a peace, a calm, a positive environment because you have allowed God into your world. Now, I've asked people, even some Christian people, to come to church who haven't been coming, or that I know would benefit in the community. There's some friends at the gym that I've asked. I can't go there at the moment. Very sad. But, you know, I've asked them. And generally, their answer is, "I'm so busy." If you want to find God coming into your life, you have to make the time. Make room in your schedule. Make room in your day. Make room in your week. Make room in your life. And mostly, it would be my observation that we are really not too busy. We simply have other things that we would rather be doing. And I'm not simply talking about that has those who haven't been for a while, but those of us who would rather be doing something else. Now, can I give you a little bit of word of warning? Social media, we all see it. When you're not in church, we see it. It's up there. 10 o'clock Sunday morning and there's someone having a great breakfast somewhere. Come on. Let's make room for God. You can have breakfast. Let's just make the time before or after. Because the most important thing in our life is actually we love God. We love God more than anything else. So we decide to make room for God in our lives because we ultimately know that He helps us. His presence is going to help you. Andrea has a prayer chair, that's my wife, set up in our bedroom. My daughter has gone to Sydney, so she's asked me to move the chair up into her room because it was Sarah's prayer chair, but now it's Andrea's prayer chair. Now, if I want to talk to her, so I walk into her into the bedroom where the chair's set up and I see her on that chair, I'm not going to... I've worked it out. Actually, I've tried a couple of times. Do not interrupt me. Because she's making room for God. On that chair, that's her space. She has a little stool. She puts her feet up. Does it matter how we do it as long as we make room? See, I thought about this. Joseph and Mary, the ones that gave birth to Jesus, ask for a room for their newborn. And so they walk up to the inn manager there. Sorry, guys, I've got good paying customers. Sorry, guys, I've got people that are business people who this place is full and they've paid extra for the night. And you guys don't look like you've got much means. Why don't you try over there? I was thinking that this inn manager probably could have asked one of the business people who had means to go to another hotel. But he was actually saying, my world's full of paying customers. I can see you two can't pay a lot. Go over there. The events of history, if only. He is known as the innkeeper who kicked the Son of God out of his inn. He could have shown some mercy. Maybe even moved, like I said, a business person to some other hotel. He would have had friends in the business. See, the most important thing he didn't make room for. But this woman said, the woman of means in this passage, the Shunammite woman who is known, whatever was happening on a hot day, she made room for him. On a cold day, she made room for him, probably supplied a fire. No matter her circumstances, no matter her other important activities as a woman of stature in her community, of means, who had many other appointments, she had determined that she would make room for God. Can we create room for God, church? Secondly, create room financially. Create room, what did I say? Financially. Some of you need to actually say these three words, I believe, today. Let's say it together. Create room financially. Create room how? Financially. That's better. See, whenever we bring our tithe, and we have offerings as well here in church, that's next month. We do our story, our future. But let's just talk about the tithe. Whenever we bring our tithe, whenever we take our 10% that we know is for the Lord, it creates a hole. There is a gap that God can get into and transform. We can make room for God in all these other areas and forget that God actually wants to help us with the important thing of living this life well here on earth. And He wants to help us. And so when we give to God and make room for Him financially with our tithes and offerings, what happens is it creates room for God to move and do the miraculous in our life. Come on. God's in control. Make room for the creativity of God over your financial world. Who believes that God has more creativity than you do? And so when we make room for Him in our financial world through bringing our tithes and our offerings to Him, there is a creativity that is far bigger than our creativity. I want to ask you a question. Do you think you could have made a hippopotamus? I mean, there are some strange animals out there, right? How did he ever think about making a platypus? How did that name ever get created for that? You know, I mean, amazing. And then there's that, like, anteater thing. What's it called? Echidna. That's it, with these big spikes. Crazy, right? Crazy good. God wants to do crazy good in your financial world. He does. And when the woman made room for God, she had the presence of God all week long. He could stay. There is something special about staying in the presence of God. See, Elisha, we know, was anointed. He was like God. Back in the Old Testament, the prophets were like God. That's how you refer to them. It was like everyone went to them. So he had a double portion, the Bible says, from Elijah. And so there's a great amount of power through his connection to God. And so the more the anointing rests on your life, because you have made room for him, the more the miraculous in your life will become normal. We must recognize that what we have through a relationship with Jesus Christ is not normal to those of our friends and everyone that we talk to out there in our world. For what we seem as normal is actually supernatural to them. It's like, how did that happen? How did you get through that situation? And so a little bit of history here. You can find it in 2 Kings 13, verse 20. Elisha died and they buried him. So Elisha's died. This great prophet of God who was incredibly anointed. That means he had a great amount of power on his life through his ongoing connection of making room for God in his world. So it was, the story goes, that they were burying this man, this soldier, because they saw the other armies, the opposition coming, and so they thought, well, he's died, let's throw him in this pit because we haven't got time, and it was Elisha's tomb. As soon as the man, this dead man who'd been died in battle, hits Elisha's rib cage, he immediately comes alive again. The fire of God goes through this dead soldier and he bursts back out of the tomb and starts to fight with his soldiers again. Can you imagine what the soldiers were thinking? Didn't you just die? Didn't we just throw you in that tomb? That's like one of those movies, right, where I've watched this movie because I can't do much at the moment. I've got to do something. So I thought, well, you can only read so much. I'm watching this movie and there's cowboys and aliens all at the same time. And these people would die, but then they would get resurrected because the alien would come out. Ooh, you know, not like that. But what I'm saying is there is something on us that can transform someone else's life. And so when we make room for God, there is so much power available to us. Wow, the stories that can come in your world. The Spirit of God was so on Elisha that even when he was dead, he was able to transform another person. Incredible. Wouldn't that be awesome? Every time someone walked past your tombstone, there was like this power emanating. Dwight Moody, the great evangelist in the 1800s who led 1 million people to the Lord over his 40-year ministry, he told a story that would never see him achieve such a great milestone in his life. Who knows that when you decide to make room for God, there is always going to be opposition forces? And so we have to decide quite early whether we're going to keep making room for God or give in to the opposition because, well, it's hard today. Anyway, we might get to that in a moment. When Dwight was just 6 years old, who's got a six-year-old here today? No one's got a six-year-old. I'm sure there must be one in. Yeah, there we go. 6 years old. So is it a boy or a girl? You're a boy. So, all right, so this is really relevant here. An old iron railway fence fell onto Dwight Moody. He was alone. He was trying to cross the railway with no one in sight as he'd taken a shortcut. He tried and tried, but he could not lift the heavy steel railway fence to free himself. Then he thought to himself, maybe God could help me. So I asked him. After that, I could lift the rails. One of the well-documented sayings of Dwight Moody is this. Someday you will read in the papers that D.L. Moody of East Norfield is dead. Don't you believe a word of it. At that moment, I shall become more alive than I am now. I shall have gone up higher than that. That is all. Out of this old clay tenement into a house that is immortal, a body that death cannot touch, that sin cannot taint, a body fashioned like unto his glorious body. What a vision this man had. See, we make room for God in our lives so that we have greater effect on our friends and family. Who'd like to see some transformation in their family? Anybody? Who'd like to see some transformation with their friendships? When we make room for God in our lives, something powerful can happen when we're talking to our friends and family. You have to believe that. Billy Sunday made this great statement. He's got a great name too, by the way, Billy Sunday. Anyway. Let's stop fiddling with religion and do something to bring the world to Christ. We have to create opportunity in our world for God to move in our life. which creates room for God to move in others. And so there has to be time in our schedules. And so I want us to consider today, and we'll talk about this at our leaders and volunteers meeting. If you volunteer in any way in our church, you're welcome on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Schedules in your week, in your month, even in your year. Andrew and I budget, and one of the first things we do is our tithes and offerings. We make room. And so I want to talk to you just for a moment, and we'll continue this on Tuesday, but about the big five. Can you, if you have a pen or write this down, the big five for our year. Firstly, soap. You have it on your chair this morning. It's about reading the Bible together. SOAP stands for Scripture, Observation, Application, and Prayer. We are going to every month have someone that leads a connect group or someone in a leadership role to come and present a 4-minute of one verse of that. They'll read that verse. They will observe what they have learnt from that verse. They will apply that verse to their own life and maybe give a short illustration of what has happened in some area of their life as they followed God, and then they will pray. That is a great thing, a great study help for any person that wants to read the Bible. Read a verse. Make an observation about that verse, mull over it, apply it to your life, and then pray so that the presence and power of God can help you do life better. Connect group, second one. Connect group is such an important thing in our life this year. Every year, but who knows that we need to do life together? And if you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, it must be not only a personal relationship, but also with others. So it goes along with our whole mission for our church of love God, love each other, and lastly, love the community. We've got to love one another so that we can love others. That's our learning ground, really. And then church. Church is a big one. I will determine to come to church. Say it with me. I'm coming to church. I will come to church. It's important for your life. I need to make room, and there's a number of reasons for this. And, I see how we go with time this morning, but other people... And particularly if you've got children, they need to see the decisions that you're making and making room for it. Fourth one, prayer. We must be praying both personally, corporately, and in our groups. Those are the leading groups. We must make room for Him in these areas of our life. We have a corporate prayer meeting every Tuesday evening at 7 o'clock. This week slightly different, but we'll be praying as a leadership volunteer team. Can I encourage us to make time to pray to God, also corporately together, about the vision of our church and those areas that are affecting us? And, you know, great to come if you're not feeling well too and believe for the power of God to touch you to our prayer meeting. And lastly, is your serving, your service in the house of God. Such an important thing. You don't know what can happen from your service and propel you into ministry with God. So there's just five things. What are they? SOAP, connect group, church, prayer, and service. So I want to ask a question. what was in the room the Shunammite woman made for God. We have it here behind us, or behind me. There was a bed, there was a table, there was a chair, and a lampstand. Let's go to verse 10. Please let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, a table, a chair, a lampstand, so it will be whenever he comes to us, he can turn in there. When you make space for God in your day, maybe 15 minutes, maybe 30, maybe an hour, the bed represents dreaming. Dreaming about all the things that you can do and God can do in your world. See, the enemy's desire is to create disappointment, is to create hurt, anxiety in your life. And the devil knows if he can get you thinking negatively for a while, you won't be able to see the future at all. Now, most of us, I'm sure, have had some dark moments, but if they continue, it's very hard to see in front of you, right? You lose your purpose for life. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so if you stop dreaming, if you have no dreams of what could be, this is why if you didn't get a card last week, take one from the information desk and fill in your dreams as a family, as a single person, whatever it is. And don't forget ministry. What does God want you to do? What does he want you to serve in? You see, if you stop dreaming, before long there's no hope, there's no desire. Life gets pretty boring and mundane. You just change your attitude towards others. And the truth is, we probably all know 40-odd-year-olds that have seemed like they're retired in their mind. But the truth is, when we make room for God, we are constantly reinventing ourselves. Reinvent yourself, give him room. Here's some senior statistics. This will help Greg Moore and I at least. At 86 years of age, Catherine Pelton swam 200 metres butterfly in 3 minutes, 1.14 seconds, beating the fastest man for her age group by 20 seconds. 84. At 91, Alan Stewart of New South Wales completed a Bachelor of Law degree from the University of New England. Let's give it up for Alan Stewart. I don't know if he ever got to practice, but hey. At 92, going up here, Paul Spangler finished his 14th marathon. At 100, Frank Shearer seems to be the oldest active water skier in the world. Who's heard about him? Amazing guy. I don't know how he does it, but there's hope for you and me, I know that. See, when these people were questioned, and this is the important part, about why they did these things, their answers were all similar. I was thinking about the future. How cool is that? Doesn't that make your mindset just go, I can do that? It's never too late. Church, say it with me. It's never too late. Have a vision about some of the great things you haven't done yet. And so forth. The woman is on purpose creating room. She's what? She's on purpose. See, the first thing mentioned is the bed. It revives the dream in you. And then there's the chair, a place to commune with the Holy Spirit, a place to sit and meditate on God's word. Also, a place of relating, sitting, getting to know him. There is an approachability about our God. He is not a mad person or going to send fiery darts down on your head. He wants to have communication with you. He loves you. And the Apostle Paul wrote, I count everything as secondary so I can know him. And he did it with a candle. We've got all the power in the world now. Well, most of the time, unless you live in Beaconsfield where we live. Then the woman put a lampstand in there. You see, you and I get illumination from the Word of God. Spend time in the Scriptures. Let's say it together. I'm going to spend time in the Scriptures. And so we're introducing SOAP, as I've mentioned. Revive me according to your word, O God, Psalms say. Jeremiah says, is not my word like a roaring fire, says the Lord? And so Jeremiah could not help himself. He had to prophesy. And I feel for this man because no one else, really agreed with him. But when there's a fire inside of you, you must prophesy the word of God. But if you're not reading the word of God, there's not much to prophesy or no good news. Because you need to have this ongoing making room for him in your life. And the word revives your soul. Spend time in the room. Say it with me. Spend time in where? In the room. I have my own room. It's called the garage. But I can't get there at the moment, so I've just put my foot up on a recliner and look out at my view that I have from my house and just meditate that way. But it's still making room. You see, when you make room for God, it will be the best age reducer there ever is. It's the best antidote for an otherwise bad day. You may as well make room for him and have a good day. 5, create room for miracles to be normal. I'm going to take a little bit of time on this. We may not finish quite on time. For all those time people, grace right now, thank you. Good, okay. Create room for miracles to be normal. Who'd like to have miracles as a normal part of their life? Anyone? Oh, come on. Isn't that why we make room? Elisha asks his servant what he could do for this woman of means. She seems to have everything. The servant says she doesn't have a child. Now, in the history, in that day, this was to be seen as she must have not been a good person. She may have had means, but something's not right because God's not blessing her. Obviously, we know better than that now, but that was how they thought. She's barren. Not a good scenario in their culture. And the woman is noticeably upset when Elisha says, you will have a child within 1 year. The woman actually says, please don't say those kind of things and make promises that you can't mean. You can understand it, right? And have you seen my husband? He's not exactly young anymore. And so the woman doesn't want to believe and she's really disappointed. But through making room for God, she falls pregnant even though her husband's old. Wow. The woman has the dream of her life. When we make room for God, he never shortchanges us. You've allowed me into this house to bless me, and now I want to bless you. You were making room for me. You wanted to get to know me. I am going to bless you. So I want to ask a question. What is the deepest dream in your heart? You're not too old. You're not too young. You're not too anything. When we make room for God, there are limitless things that he can do in our world. And the young boy grew up. But we also know from the story that her young son died. My miracle baby is dead, she's saying. How? He was reaping a harvest. He got sunstroke. He's out in the fields. The sun gets onto his head. He dries up. He's not drinking enough fluids. He did not take in enough water into his system. He'd lost all his reserves. He had this incredibly bad migraine. He dried up. My last point is this. Create room to cover your head. We can all get into the place where we do not drink enough of the Holy Spirit. It's too hot. There's too many things going on in my life. I'm too busy. I'm frenetic doing this with the children or going there. My work is so intense. And we forget about the most important thing in our life, making room for the Holy Spirit in our world so that we don't dry up and become crusty and dry and eventually die of heat exhaustion because we've simply not allowed him room that we can drink in his Spirit into our life. Put on, the Bible says, the helmet of salvation. If our mental health is to be strong, is to be positive, is to have a future, who knows, our mental health is so important. When we make room for him, our mindset changes into a different gear. Take up the shield of faith, the Bible says. I need help with my thinking. Weeds grow in my brain when I do nothing. It's my responsibility here today to make room for God in my life. Because I want to have hope thoughts every day, even when circumstances are against me. Life is good. Come on. God is good. I will not fear. Your choice to imagine the worst or the best. Now, here we go. We can finish this. The boy is dead. Elisha comes. This is the short version. The woman says, now this is the woman that's had her miracle, her dream come to pass in her life. She says it's going to be all right. You see, through making room for God in her life, she actually said, it's going to turn around. She knows where the power is. She places her son on the man of God's bed, the place where she'd made room for God, the place where the anointing was. She places her son and says, it's going to be okay. Because she knows that where the power comes from in the end. She knows where the life is. And Elisha went into the room where the boy, where he would sleep, was lying down, and he had no life. And there has to be a place where you can take your kids. There has to be room for him in your home. There has to be room for him, and that others see you walking the life that makes room for God through making room for others in your world, through Connect Group, through serving in the house of God, through getting involved in missions, through whatever it is that God has put in your heart, making room like Richard has for preaching, for whatever it is, so that we can be on fire together and enjoy the power and presence of God. What happened? Who'd like to know what happened? Elisha breathes the Spirit of God into the boy. It wasn't just one breath, it was a number of breaths. He wasn't going to give up on the life of God. And the breath of God enters the boy, and Elisha calls for the woman who's outside, pacing up and down in the hallway. Here you are, take your son. He's alive. He's in conversation with her. He's probably saying, I don't know what happened, but I feel really good now. There has to be a commitment in our hearts to make room, just as a Shunammite woman made room for God. The possibilities are limitless when we make room. Close your eyes for a moment as we're just sitting here. If you don't mind, just pop your hands out to God. Oh God. Oh God. Oh God, right here, right now. Lord, I pray that we will make room. I pray that we would create room financially. I pray that we would make room for his life. I pray, Lord, today that we would be on purpose in creating room for you. Lord, that miracles would become a normal part of our life. And as we make room, that we would cover our heads through the power of your Holy Spirit, we would not dry up. And even when the worst things happen in our life, we know that you are going to take control of that situation and breathe life back into it. In the mighty, powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God said, and the people of God said, amen. And the people of God said, amen. Yes, 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 Lord. Let's stand to our feet. We need to sing a song this morning and rejoice in him. Give me